Hey, what's poppin', everybody? Welcome to the Deals in the D Studios.
What?
And the Drew and Mike Podcast.
DealsInTheD.com.
DealsInTheD.com. Thank you. I screwed it up already.
It's my first day.
I know we should have a half a day for the first day with sponsors. Yes, Zot Ford has come to our rescue. Big time. I'm serious. We'll get in more into this. What kind of heroes we now have. Zot Ford and Greg Roche, David Hall. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll have more heroes.
Mm-hmm. Keep us doing this a long time.
Yeah. But honestly, I don't know if we would be here right now doing this were it not for those three people. Speaking of Zot, well, I'll get to Zot Ford in a minute. We're going to talk about the Lions, of course, the NFL playoffs, which have been really disappointing.
Awful.
I think. Brutal.
Waste of time.
The big bowl games were a bummer, too.
The Rose Bowl kind of made up for that.
Yeah, the Michigan game was great.
Michigan game kind of made up for that. There were a few here and there.
Tech game was very good.
What'd you say?
Tech game was pretty good.
Yeah, it was. It was a great game.
It was a good game. There was another really good bowl game, too. The Rose Bowl was fantastic.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the two playoff games were just disappointing as hell. And I read where the NFL ratings did not recover quite as they had expected. They went up after the election, but not to where they thought they would.
Down about 8% on the year, right?
Is that the number?
That's what I heard.
Okay. That's significant. Well, I mean, they pay a lot of money.
Funny thing about ratings, though, is they don't always go up, 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 up. Sometimes it dips down, like you've always said.
No, that's true. That's true.
But they have lost viewers, as aside from share. The product's not as good as it used to be. I don't know.
Yeah, it's... Well, look at the games this weekend.
I know. I have a feeling it will survive.
Oh, I think they'll be okay. Anything happening, by the way, in Green Bay? Are the Giants...
You know what? I
declared
it over after the third Randall Cobb touchdown, which I think, made it 30-13 or 31-13?
I agree with you. There was 9 minutes left, though. There could be...
It's 38-13 now. Oh, okay. So, 2.5, so...
Forget it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Golden Globes also. We were just watching the pregame show, and we're keeping our eye on it. Maybe we'll pop some of the monologue on. And terrorism continues in Fort Lauderdale and now Israel today. I wish we had some, we have some fun things to talk about too. We'll get into all that. But first this, from Zot Ford and DealsInTheD.com, they are beyond excited to finally partner up. This is what's funny about this. Steve Gabar has been begging us to advertise and and we just weren't really ready. We didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't know if we were going to be a long-term thing. So we kind of put them off, and here we go. So anyway, yes, we are finally partnered up to be the official studio sponsor, which is so funny, the fact that somebody's sponsoring the
your basement. I know.
How cool is that?
That's pretty neat.
Well, celebrate.
Sponsor my basement.
Red Shovel Studios is gone.
I know, blown out. It's now the DealsInTheD.com.
Yes. Unfortunately, the shovel, the company was approached that makes the shovels. They were not as interested, unfortunately, as Zot Ford. to celebrate this momentous occasion, our friends at Zot Ford and Holly will be offering up to 30% off select new vehicles for the month of January. Swing out to Zot Ford at I-75 and Exit 98. Tell them Drew and Mike sent you, and then sit back and watch the magic happen. Surf their insane deals and massive inventory at DealsInTheD.com. And this website, honestly... Whatever vehicle you could possibly want that's a Ford, they've got Zot Toyota, they've got Zot Jeep.
Jeep, yeah.
Zot, what else do they have? They got one more. Don't they? Zot Dodge?
There's four dealerships.
Anyway, go to the site and you'll find damn near any car you could possibly want. And they give you A-plan price, they give you non-A-plan price. It's really...
They'll deal with you.
Yes. It's quite informative, if I do say so myself. I'm not one of those guys that likes to go around and shop like crazy.
God,
either.
No.
So I thought it was pretty cool. And I'm just not. And when I'm in the market for a new car, I don't get excited about it. It's kind of a bummer to me. Like, oh, man, I got to do something. I have to work. I have to put in effort. This looks like it'll make it a lot easier for me. At Zot Ford and Holly, they love to make buying or leasing your next new Ford fun, simple, easy, and hassle-free. They pride themselves in taking care of partners. And Drew and Mike listeners are the newest partners for Zot Ford, and they couldn't be more excited. Lease a new 17 Ford Fusion for only $119 a month. You get a car for $119 a month?
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
Or lease a new 16 Ford F-150 Super Cab 4x4 at just $173 per month. Both are 24-month leases. See the phenomenal deals and massive inventory at DealsInTheD.com. Sportsmanshow.com.
And it is a massive inventory.
It is. Yeah, that's a big joint. And what I love about it is the infamous sign that I've always talked about. When I first got here and I went the wrong way on 75 and I saw Jesus saying, "Are you going in the right direction?
Are you on the right road?"
Yes.
Yeah.
And I knew I wasn't because I'd seen the sign before. So I turned
Jesus
around.
Jesus saved you, Drew.
At that moment, yes, Jesus did a wonderful job. And Jesus will point you in the direction to Zot Ford as well.
Yeah, because Holly Road's the next exit just north of there.
That's
Dixie
great.
Highway and then Holly.
Yeah, he was telling us that apparently that sign was getting rather tattered, and they did
yeah.
a... What'd they do?
What's it called where you crowdsource money? A Kickstarter.
Yeah, Kickstarter.
Help it out. That's a huge church up there.
Apparently enough people felt strongly about the sign. It's pretty iconic after all these years that they mm-hmm. raised a bunch of money, and they fixed it up, and it's more lit, and it looks pretty darn good. So there. Now, on to... The Lions, which was everything I expected it would be.
Pretty much.
Horrible.
Was there one point in the game where you thought, hey, maybe.
I thought the fourth and one play was very big.
In the first, the fourth and one by them?
By us.
Oh, in the first quarter? In the 38. Second quarter? Yeah.
Yeah, and we threw a pass to the tight end who's caught one ball all year.
Yeah, that's what a way to draw that one up. You realize how the first four drives ended, right?
Well, the first two with drop passes.
Golden Tate dropped the ball on the first drive.
Ebron?
On third and seven. Ebes dropped one on third and one on the second drive. The third drive ended with Matthew Mulligan's one-yard catch or negative one-yard catch. And the fourth drive was the out that was dropped by Bolden, who then just decided to shove somebody.
That's right. I forgot that there was another drop pass and the penalty resulting from it.
Those are the ends of the first four drives.
How can you expect to beat Seattle at Seattle doing something so or not doing something so basic? I'm seeing drops all over the NFL, by the way. It's driving me crazy.
I really think it's got to be a function of not having full speed practice as much because of the collective bargaining agreement.
I would agree with you because I hadn't even thought about that, except it just seems so... I don't know. I see it in college a lot more, too.
Well, they don't hit as much in college anymore. They don't have full-speed practice. So a lot of people – that's the theory from a lot of people is that the decline in play in general in the NFL is because you just don't practice as much.
Well, you do see guys dropping interceptions like crazy, too, which is
– That's why they're on the defense.
But, I mean, was it Jake Ryan, the Michigan guy, right in his – or Clay Matthews?
Clay, where Stafford threw it to him?
Yeah, yeah right to him. Yeah. Right to him. And he threw it right to a DB in the – I'm trying to think of what game that was. Maybe the Dallas game? Just right to the guy. Mm-hmm. And he dropped it.
That's a little different, though, because you don't expect it when you're on defense.
They work on that, though. They practice that. They have the tip drills. And
but you still at full speed don't necessarily expect it.
Well, I certainly expect wideouts to catch balls more everything. Than I expect DBs and linebackers to.
Especially when you see, the crazy catches.
Oh, that Seattle was making?
Yeah.
I know. They need one hand to catch a big make a big play with a catch, and we can't do it with two.
While committing a face mask.
That's right. Yeah, that was a bit. There were really, I'm not really into complaining about calls because we lost by, it was 26-6. I doubt the calls really made a difference, but God, there were some shitty calls in that game.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Somebody put the list together of all the shitty calls that the Lions have undergone in the last year. Do you care to hear any of them?
Yeah, go ahead. Because, I'm thinking about last year. There were certainly some big ones.
Well, remember...
Denver in particular.
Which one was the Denver one?
In the end zone? That wasn't Denver. Was that Seattle?
Well,
the guy tapped it out of the end.
The last time they played at Seattle. Yeah.
That was Seattle, okay.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Which was a terrible call. Of course, there's the no pass interference against Dallas the last time they were in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That it grew.
Huge.
But this year alone, so you had Paul Richardson's face mask. You had uncatchable thanks to the interference play on TJ Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was yesterday. I thought that was a terrible call. By the way, when was the last time you saw uncatchable call?
Never. You never see it.
And I love that they brought that rule in because I've always thought that was ridiculous. If a ball's 40 feet over somebody's head to call interference seems so stupid to me.
Well, they never
enforce it.
I've always said to you, yeah, you don't really want to call that, though, because you don't know what these guys can catch now. And yet that guy has the flag in his hand.
If it's close, I mean, if there's any doubt, I would say, you want to say it's catchable. So because there's a penalty.
Just this year alone, week two, remember Ebron against the Titans when he got called for offensive pass interference?
Oh, yeah.
When he never pushed the guy.
That's right.
Week three had the Nevin Lawson pass interference against Green Bay, the 66-yard pass interference.
Yep.
Which was very questionable.
That was big.
Week 14 was when they threw a flag on Glasgow, but it was really Glasgow was being hands to the face.
Oh, yeah.
They called it on Glasgow, but it was really against the Bears.
Brutal call. Horrible call.
The drop, the Odell Beckham Jr. dropped catch that they called a catch. Remember against the Giants?
In the Giants game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ball bounced on the ground and came. I still don't know why they didn't challenge.
That was a very strange call. That call didn't really matter in the end, did it?
Well, it was early in the game, but you still have to challenge it. If the play is wrong, you challenge it. Because how many times do you go home with challenges available? It's like using timeouts. Why? What are you keeping them in your pocket?
No, I've forgotten what Caldwell said. Did he say it wasn't a big play?
I think that was
or something.
Yeah, that and he said it made it second and four as opposed to second and nine. So what?
It was obvious.
That's a stupid,
it was blatant.
Yeah. And then week 16, the A'shaun Robinson body slam on Ezekiel Elliott.
Terrible call.
Yeah.
Terrible.
So they have been victims of bad calls this year, but good teams get calls.
Definitely. I wonder how many of those calls, by the way, were difference makers. Seems to me a significant number of those were pretty big calls.
Well, the Ebron pass interference is huge. That's a touchdown coming off the board.
I thought, seems to me the Glasgow call was fairly big.
Yeah, who knows? Every play's not made in a vacuum, but still.
I mean, the call against Seattle last year was certainly gigantic. The Dallas call in the playoffs 2 years ago was huge.
Although, remember, after that, they had fourth and two, and they couldn't get it.
Yeah.
They had a poor sequence after that. And then Sam had a bad punt.
That's a lot of calls.
I did think, though, there was still a chance to win when after Bolden made his second dumb penalty and Sam Martin booted a beautiful punt, 58 yards. Mm-hmm. Then they got another 10 yards on a penalty.
Right.
So the score then is only 13-6. It's a one-possession game. And the first two plays they stopped him, they had third and five. And next thing you know, it's just a straight out to Doug Baldwin.
How many third downs did they convert on that drive, by the way, and maybe the next drive, too? Didn't seem like they converted every third down from then on.
Right after they got that third down with about 11 minutes left was the 42-yard bomb to Doug Baldwin. So then they converted another third down.
Is that a one-hand catch, too?
Where he tiptoed along the sideline.
Yeah.
And then he fell down and threw the ball, so the refs were kind of confused. But they scored. That's when Rawls just walked in for a touchdown. It's 19-6, and that was the ball game. If they could have stopped them on that third down, you know, Seattle's punting from their own 23. You never know.
Well, what's up with the Lions scoring 6 points in two of the last four games? Six points.
I think in the last four games they had one second-half touchdown.
Yeah, they didn't score against Dallas in the second half.
Uh-uh.
They didn't score against the Giants or Seattle. So did they score against...
Must have been Green Bay.
They had the Hail Mary.
Oh, yeah. The most pointless Hail Mary ever.
Oh, my God, that Hail Mary today that Rodgers threw.
I know.
Holy. I mean, right in the back of the end zone, it was the perfect throw.
Sucked.
I cannot believe that he actually thought he was going to put the ball right there, but, God, that was a beautiful throw. You could tell when it left his hand it was a good throw for a Hail Mary.
He knows how to do those.
And that touchdown pass he also made where he took two steps in probably four different directions to give himself maybe 8 or 9 seconds in a pocket that was really seemed so close to collapsing. God, that was an amazing play.
There's two things a good quarterback needs to do now. Number one is just to be accurate. Number two is you got to just be able to move around in the pocket, not run. I mean, Brady moves in the pocket really well.
I think Stafford's been pretty good in the pocket.
He's
actually
been way better this year. He used to run into sacks.
Yeah, he did.
He would just run into linemen. Now he is a little more elusive. But look at the best quarterback. Obviously, Rodgers. Roethlisberger's pretty good at moving.
He's very good.
Russell Wilson, we saw it yesterday. He's pretty good at moving. Mm-hmm. So it's just a key thing that people don't think about because you just have to accept that the defensive lines are going to get pressure nowadays.
It seems weird for me to say this, but I think Stafford's best days are ahead of him.
Really?
I do. Because I think, one, the way he moves in the pocket is superior. He also helps himself running the ball, much like Aaron Rodgers does. Not quite as well as Aaron Rodgers, but he's made He's made an asset out of his ability to scramble a little bit.
He seems to have something going on with Jim Bob Cooter, with Coots.
I think if he didn't get this finger injury, he would have been a 100 rating quarterback. I think that injury was worse than he let on. It bothered him. He did not throw. He missed a lot of people. I don't think he misses when he's playing before the injury.
Maybe I'm
wrong on that. It just seems like it. It just seemed like from the moment he got that injury, he was not quite the same.
Well, clearly the numbers show it. But watching him yesterday, he was just. I mean, he had four drops.
Just a little off. It's just enough to make a difference. Yeah, the four drops don't help any. By the way, the NFL, when they classify something a drop, how does it have to be just the absolute perfect drop, like a guy's all alone and it's right in his hands? Yeah. Because when I looked at the drop numbers yesterday, Ebron is third in the league with 7. He has more than 7 drops.
I would think so, yeah.
Didn't he have two in one game twice? I thought he had 2 yesterday.
Yeah, I would think he would have more than that.
They must be really...
Maybe they count some of those as pass breakups for some unknown reason.
I just think it probably doesn't look good to have receivers with 17, 18 drops, even though they probably do. Crabtree leads the league with 9.
Really?
Yeah. Somebody has 8. Ebron has 7, with less passes thrown to him, by the way, than the guy 2 guys ahead of him.
There's just a lot.
Marvin Jones has 6. I thought he had more than 6, too.
Wow.
And Tate had 5, all of them ranked in the top, 15 or 20 guys. T.J. Jones made the list, too, with 2.
Really?
Yeah, he's only been thrown to 14 times.
Oh, God. What is the explanation for that?
I don't know. I think the number is way, way crazy low.
Man.
So, yeah, that game was that the most horrible game to watch, too?
Yeah, no. Well, I thought they were in it. I mean, it wasn't the most exciting game, but at least they were in it until about 8 minutes left.
That's true. Even 19-6, technically, they used to be able to put a couple touchdown drives together.
After 19-6, that was the play where I think they went 3 and out on 3 passes where I think Stafford's never been further from a receiver on any of those passes.
Yeah, they were bad. That's what I mean, plays like that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like Matt Stafford.
Oh, they didn't do themselves any favors.
That was a stinker.
I don't want to hear them talking about the officials either.
It just seems so stupid when you lose 26-6. I don't even know what the point is of talking about it other than,
Thomas Rawls, of all people, too. Do you remember when he was at Michigan?
Yeah. Wasn't he at Michigan for 3 years?
Yeah, and then he took a grad transfer to Central.
And had a great year there.
Yep.
Big year.
Yep.
So what do you think? Did Michigan miss him?
What do you mean? Did they miss him?
Who started instead of Rawls? I don't even remember him being second string. Do you?
No. God, would that have been Vincent Smith back in the day? Or Fitzgerald Toussaint, probably.
Yeah, maybe for Toussaint.
A while. Who had a cup of coffee in the pro? I mean, he was...
He Rawls, still played this year.
Rawls was always lauded by Fred Jackson. Like, it was almost a joke. Fred Jackson's like, this is the greatest running back I've ever seen come out of high school. And so everyone kind of laughed at it because he wasn't that highly
rated. That high?
Yeah. But I think most of it goes to just not being able to develop talent by that coaching staff that was there.
Well, and, obviously he was beaten out.
Mm-hmm.
While we're on football, Fleck takes the Minnesota job.
Yep. Yep, and a lot of recruits going with him.
Yeah, and, oh, boy, that's going to – what can you say, though?
A lot of recruits – oh, no, they should. Well,
they've gone to Western if it wasn't Fleck.
Most people commit – most players commit to a coach. You don't really commit to the school as much. You commit to the coach.
That's why the coaches are paid what they're paid.
Exactly. So that's why when coaches leave, a lot of kids should be let out of their scholarship if they want to leave the school. Now, once you get to a school –
they should.
It's a little hard to leave. You're kind of entrenched there.
But maybe you should have the option.
Of course you should.
Without
penalty. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. Recruits go with him, but his slogan doesn't.
Oh, I read that, and I laughed out loud. As if this new coach is going to want to be running around screaming, row the boat. It's the weirdest slogan. It doesn't even make sense. I think it's kind of stupid, but it worked. They won, so who cares? You love any slogan. It's like, who dat?
But isn't
what does who dat mean?
Who know? Or who day?
Who day? Whatever the hell the Saints.
No, who day is the Bengals and who dat's the Saints.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
But is Western really going to sell Row the Boat stuff without PJ Fleck around?
No, it's absurd. It's totally absurd. I just think they thought they were so smart and they trademarked it. Yeah. They probably didn't even tell him. Said, oh, let's trademark Row the Boat. And then PJ can't leave.
They just give it to him.
Of course.
If he wants it.
You know, I don't know. I think it's a stupid slogan. I would just assume I never heard it again.
Minnesota's got the dumber one. What's the thing they have on their helmet? The skiuma? You ever seen that?
Well, I don't even know what that means.
I think it used to be on the front of their sticker, SKI skiuma, and it goes back to a cheer they had in the early turn of the century. Like, risboomba skiuma. I'll look it up.
Okay.
I know, it's totally ridiculous.
Well, he goes into a school, though, that was 9-4. Went to a bowl.
No, he's not really.
It's a great position.
I told you before, that's where he should go if offered. They got all new facilities. They have a new stadium.
Facilities are supposed to be really good.
They don't really have to compete with too much around them. Now, granted, there's not much talent up there, but you know, if he can get the guys that succeed at, say, North Dakota State or some of those Division I AA teams to go to Minnesota, I think he can really succeed there.
Would you think that the Western recruits would be able to play at a Big Ten school?
Yeah, why not?
I just figure guys that commit to PJ Fleck at Western were...
It depends.
Maybe diamonds in the rough that he liked.
Probably, but remember the guy that had the big interception for Wisconsin in the Cotton Bowl was originally a Western commit. Remember they made fun of him?
Yeah.
And you look at, like, J.J. Watt originally, you know, went to Central for a while and then ended up at Wisconsin. People forget that Northwestern
was... some big high draft picks out of the MAC. There's no question about that.
Northwestern was utter garbage. And yet, somehow, they managed to turn it around with Barnett and keep it going now with Fitzgerald because they get these guys that are three-star recruits that are captains of their team and guys that fit the mold. And, yeah, you can succeed.
Well, I just don't know if he can do it without Row the Boat, though. Possibly.
In 1884, two Minnesota rugby players, John W. Adams and Win Sargent, tried to think of a fitting team yell. They used the word ski, a Sioux battle cry meaning victory, and combined it with U-Ma, representing the University of Minnesota, and rhyming it with rah-rah-rah to create a team cheer.
Okay.
Rah-rah-rah, ski U-Ma. So they wore that on their helmets.
Were they planning to keep that permanently on their helmets?
I don't know.
Does that go with the old coach?
Maybe he'll get rid of it.
Well, anyway, disappointing football weekend all around. Although I'm looking forward to Monday. I hope that could be tonight, technically. I hope that's a great game.
The national championship.
I'm fascinated to see this Lane Kiffin thing, if this really makes a difference. It just seems so strange. And I know the Sarkisian's a great guy, but to change coordinators before the championship game is just it's just bizarre. It's unprecedented. It's crazy. It's totally Nick Saban saying nobody's more important than this program, which I think is kind of cool in a way.
Do you think it could help them in the fact that these guys, Kiffin and Sarkisian, obviously have had, you know, they've come up together, they've worked together before. They've worked together this year. They know the same terminology. They know the same offense. It's basically the same, right?
Yeah.
Except Clemson doesn't necessarily know what Sarkisian's tendencies would be, like what he likes in that offense. Whereas if they've watched him all year, they know what Kiffin wants to do.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Except would Nick Saban want to change? Wouldn't he want to do what he's done?
Let me give you an example. Jim Bob Cootes worked under Lombardi.
Yeah.
And that offense was garbage. But basically, he takes over same terminology, same offense, but has different tendencies and simplifies it, and it works better.
How much can you do in that short period of time, though? Jim Bob Cooter had, he didn't have the bye week?
Yeah, I think that what I mean, though, by tendencies is maybe Kiffin likes to run, you know, 25 certain plays that are his bread and butter, and Kiffin maybe only likes, or Sarkisian likes maybe 5-6 of those, but there's other formations he wants to run certain plays out of.
Well, I'm fascinated to see how it goes. You know, I think you're right. I think that could be one outcome. Another outcome could be, a bunch of guys jumping off sides or just I don't know. I some disorganization. I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, depends who signals in the calls. I would assume the same people would be signaling in the calls.
A delay a game or two.
The difference is Sarkisian hasn't called plays in a while. His tempo could be off. He's been sitting in the booth. Now he's going to be doing it from the field. Your perspective's always different.
That's a big change. That's a big change.
I don't think it's going to hurt him one bit.
Probably not. But I'm still curious to see. I think it'll be, and you know, these are the teams that played last year. How often do you get a rematch like that? It's a damn good Clemson team.
Yeah. How often do you beat a team that good twice, right?
Yeah, it would. I mean,
a lot of people are picking Clemson.
I'm not sure. I don't like Clemson in that game. It's just so hard to pick against Alabama. They're so good. I think the quarterback's a big difference maker in that game.
Sure.
And Clemson's got a guy with a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. This guy's virtually a sophomore. He's played enough to be considered an upperclassman. But, you know, it's the bright lights, the big game. We'll see. I know Saban was not happy with their offense in the Washington game.
Well, they were a little slow starting.
Yeah.
After that, it was all Bo Scarborough. What was there not to like?
Well, what did they score, 24 points?
Yeah, but Washington's not a bad defense.
Didn't they get seven? Didn't their defense set them up for 7-2?
Probably.
Anyway, it's going to be, I would assume, a highly watched finale and probably a close game. I mean, it was a close game last year.
Yeah.
It came down to an onside kick. What? I see you're looking at the Golden Globes.
Whose boobs are those?
I was wondering the same thing.
I thought there was a, is that a, that's not a Jenner, right? They wouldn't have a Jenner present. Doesn't she look a little Kylie?
So. She does.
Yeah, she looks Jenner-esque.
This is a big one. I like this. This is best.
Thornton for Goliath.
Billy Bob Thornton. Wow. For Goliath. I think that's one of the streaming sites.
Huh. I got to tell you, this year, I'm unfamiliar with more movies than I can recall.
Yeah.
And I've tried to watch movies on demand in particular.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of them come out like a week ago.
Yeah, Manchester by the Sea, the minute it's available, I'll be watching it.
God, that looks so boring to me. I don't know why.
I know, it's just getting lauded.
You know what movie I saw?
What?
I saw La La Land.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, when Billy's done, I want to hear what you say.
Those shades.
Sunglasses.
Got these round red sunglasses.
So there are a lot of talented people here in every category. These days, there are a lot of talented people in this business. And this is not track and field. So you don't break a tape and actually win. This is up to people's opinion, you know. But I do have to thank the Hollywood Foreign Press very much for picking me over Bob Odenkirk, because Bob and I have had a feud since the 1940s when we did a movie with Van Johnson. Remember that, Bob?
Billy, is he over the hairpiece full time now?
We've had a little thing ever since, so there you go, bud. And, no, I love Bob. But on a serious note, I'd really like to accept this award in memory of Luke Scott, a PA on Goliath, who left us this last year, and he was one of those guys who knew what he was doing, and I loved him. So I'd like to thank the Hollywood Foreign Press and everyone who's here, and all the actors and musicians, technicians who actually go out and try. It's easy to talk about
music.
People, yeah, but it's really
music.
Hard to stick your
I
neck
wouldn't mind
out.
Hearing some music
God
by
bless
now.
Y'all.
Did you ever see Fargo, season one, the series?
The TV show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched a few episodes of it.
Did you like it?
I did like it, and then it got a little too crazy.
Really? Oh,
I just didn't want to go with it. I felt like it sort of was leaving me behind.
I think Breaking Bad's the best show of all time. I think Fargo, season one and season two, are number two. I just love it.
Wow, that good?
Yeah, I thought so. Just quirky, but funny and violent and enough twists and turns and great acting. Billy Bob's in season one.
He was good. Great. Okay, hold your thought on La La Land, because it's time to thank somebody for saving the podcast. This will be a regular feature, by the way, as we speak to our biggest advertiser, in every program? I'm just kidding. It will not be a regular feature, but...
At least to give us a chance to hear Billy Ocean.
Yeah. Hello. Stephen Gabara.
Drew Lane.
How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Great. We were just describing how you and a couple other guys have helped save the podcast and Zot Ford, because honestly, I'm not sure. Well, I'm not sure if Mark would be sitting here. I might be sitting here. But yeah, we really needed somebody to come through, and somebody who believed in what we're doing, and you proved to be one of them, and sponsoring the studio too. You're sponsoring our basement. This is so cool.
I know the signs you put up down here look great.
Drew's basement.
We do need some signage.
Plaster all over.
Deals, yeah, we're going to get some beautiful signage. I mean, there's nothing too good for Drew's basement.
No, absolutely not. No, but I'm serious about this. We really, if we didn't have some people who believed that we could help them and who believed the podcast, it would be very difficult to go on much longer without it just being a fun thing for people to listen to and have to find and make a living some other way. So thank you.
Well, no, thank you, Drew, because let's be honest, I've been hammering you with emails saying, please take my money for how many months now?
That's true.
And I finally started CCing Mark, saying, please pay Mark. And now here we are. So awesome.
Yeah.
All because of you guys. I mean, you got, you know, I mean, I've been listening to the podcast since you guys went on. I was a huge listener. I can't be that guy that says I was listening since Drew and Zip, because that's probably not true. I bet you I showed up 6 months later. But, you know, I've loved what you guys have done for all these years. And very excited to be able to sponsor the podcast. Very excited.
Well, that's great. And I hope sincerely it does you a lot of good. And I think it will, because I think people understand. We've tried to make them understand, and I think they do, that it's not like terrestrial where you got 50 or 60 advertisers and one. They all make a difference. But in our case, you know, three or four make a huge difference. And so hopefully they'll give you guys first shot when they're looking for a car. Mm-hmm. Or when they're looking for some other things. And from there, I know you'll do the job, because I know two people, including Mark,
mm-hmm.
who recently bought a car from Zot Ford.
That was before you started emailing me. for the record.
Coincidence would have it.
Yeah. And my in-laws have gotten cars from there for years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. Jerry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Great.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so we know you guys will do the job if we just get them in the door, and that's what we'll be trying to do.
Well, it's a win-win, Drew, because there's nothing more that when we wanted was to keep the podcast going, because for selfish reasons, I mean, it's the best thing out there. There's nothing solid on terrestrial anymore. So to be a part of it's an honor. But the other win is for your listeners. I mean, you know, we've got the Ford dealership. We've got a Chrysler Jeep dealership. We've got a Dodge dealership. We've got a Toyota dealership. So we cover a broad spectrum of you know, listeners, I'm sure, that are going to look for a lot of different models. And that's where DealsInTheD.com comes in, because DealsInTheD.com is our parent website, and it's simply the best place to go to find deals on a car. So it's going to be, what are you guys going to call it, DealsInTheD.com Studios?
Yep. That's what all the signage says.
All the signage, yeah.
Yeah, the homemade signage.
So, all the signage. And the theater of the mind, right, Mark?
What? Of course. I spent hours today making signs.
In your head.
With your face on them.
Don't do that. So no, it's just an exciting partnership. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And the listeners get to, you know, like you said, we're going to take great care of them. And to that, when they come in and let us know that it's you and Drew and Mark and Mike and Trudy and whoever else sent them over, it lets us know that it's the right decision for us. And then obviously, you know, your listeners love you, Drew, and they can show their love through letting us help them out with their next car purchase or lease.
Yes. And by the way, you know, we didn't really talk about used cars, but you have a bunch of used cars too.
We do. Yeah. Believe it or not, between the four dealerships, we've got probably near 300 pre-owned vehicles available at all times. And again, at DealsInTheD.com, you can see them all in one spot. And that's all makes and models, besides just what we carry for new. So we've got everything on there.
Okay, so you don't have used cars, you only have pre-owned cars.
Yeah, well, used cars are from the 90s.
I know. I haven't gotten past that term for some reason.
Yeah, you know, I guess maybe we, now that Trump's going into office, maybe we can go back to calling them used cars again.
Yeah, we'll talk about that another time. I don't want the email.
Get back in that goddamn but, car.
Yeah, I understand.
You don't want the email. I don't want an email.
You know what I did want to mention, though, was I know somebody who turned in their car, which essentially was a lease to another. Is that a problem to do that, if you have a car leased at another dealership, to turn it in at your dealership?
It's not. One thing, we really try hard to make the you know, buying a vehicle, whether it's new or used, as pleasant and as convenient as possible. So it doesn't matter what make or model you're driving, whether you're driving a Chevrolet, whether you're driving, you know, a Mercedes, and you want to buy or lease a vehicle from us, from Zot Ford or Dodge or Chrysler or Jeep, Toyota, we're going to take in whatever you're driving, and we'll make sure that we facilitate it and make it as simple as possible to get it back to where it belongs. And, you know, once you get into the Zot family, the DealsInTheD.com crew, we go the extra mile, man. So, yeah, you're absolutely right that if you're driving a Cadillac and it's time for you to get a sweet Ford, we're going to take care of the Cadillac dealer, so you don't have to get the stink eye from the guy when you don't get another one.
Yeah, well,
that's huge.
A bit of an issue, yeah.
That's massively.
I just
huge.
Didn't know if you were doing something special for a friend, or if that was something you would normally do. So that's good to know. But anyway, listen, Stephen, thank you a million ways. I'm so glad we're doing this. I'm so glad I'm not worried about how we're going to pay a couple people, and you're a big part of that, and we do appreciate it. We'll continue to get the job done for you, and hopefully you have people in there saying, I heard about it on the podcast real soon.
Drew, thanks for the opportunity for the partnership, and I appreciate talking with you guys. I look forward to a prosperous future for us all.
You're on. Steve. Thanks, Steven.
Say hi to Stacy for me.
I'll send her love.
All right. See ya. Thanks, Steve.
See you guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
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 Stacy's the one I bought the car from, or the lease. I got a lease.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. It's all good.
It's auto show week too, man.
That's so, of
like
course
perfect
it's cold.
Time. Yeah, I know. That is one of the most such a truism that you guys have turned me on to. And Clark used to say it all the time.
I'm trying to think. I think there was one year where it wasn't that bad, but it almost seemed inappropriate to have the auto show going.
The coldest week of the year is always when the auto show's on.
And it sucks this week. I never left the house today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Fortunately,
it's awful out.
I had no need. Well, there are a couple things. I'm putting things off, but it is. Yesterday was so brutal, and today is bad. And we have snow coming.
Yeah, 4 to 6 inches, I guess, starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow.
Is that in the morning?
7 o'clock Monday, PM. I'm sorry. PM.
Okay, and then it's supposed to rain.
Really? I didn't know.
I heard
that.
There's a bunch of rain coming after the snow.
It's Michigan. Did you read the article regarding the auto show in the paper of like the biggest moments from the auto show?
You know, I did. I'm trying to remember of auto shows past.
Yes.
Well, what did they mention? What were you getting at?
Well, I just would have thought we would have had bigger and better moments than what were mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Like one was the cattle drive down, was that down Washington?
It was stupid.
One was when they drove the Jeep through the glass.
I remember that. That was kind of cool. I like that.
Another was another. Most of them tend to be Jeep things when they drove up in front of the Poncha train.
Yeah, they did some pretty wild stuff. Every year they seem to try to top themselves.
But see, growing up to me, having the auto show here every year, we always just look forward for the weird concept cars. And that was one of the moments was when they unveiled the Volt in like 2007. I'm like, I don't remember that being a big deal, but I don't work in the automotive industry.
They tried to make it a big deal. I don't know. You know, concept cars, I think it's really cool to see a concept car,
yeah.
whether it comes to fruition or not. I just think it's kind of to see a crazy model. Like if you go to the Ford Museum and you see some of the failed models,
yeah.
Those are some of the coolest cars. And they're crazy. You go, oh, how could they have ever thought this?
Yeah, but the Tucker.
Well, the Tucker. Yeah, the Tucker actually.
I love that car.
I guess that
the
was a good
headlights.
Car. I wonder what the verdict is on, I mean, the guy had such financial problems that there's no way that was ever going to happen.
No.
Because I think he wasn't he arrested as they were coming off the line for various financial misdeeds?
Yeah, he just had no money.
I'm going by the movie, of course. Jeff Bridges, I think, didn't Jeff Bridges play Tucker?
Yes.
That's a great movie, by the way.
Did I ever tell you the dumbest part of that movie when I saw it when it was out in the theater?
Oh, you saw it in the theater?
Yeah.
Really?
At Briarwood Mall in Ann Arbor.
Oh, okay.
At the very beginning, they show, like, I think it's Tucker on the farm, and it says Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Which is right next door to Ann Arbor. People started cheering. They saw Ypsilanti, like, I know where that is. It's 5 miles away.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes. I just remember that being really weird. Like, wait, there are plenty.
Because there's a number of movies that are, you know, are placed in Detroit. But if it doesn't say Detroit on the screen, I guess maybe that stops people from clapping.
I guess. I don't know.
But they actually have Ypsilanti, Michigan on the screen?
Michigan, yeah. Oh,
okay. So that did it.
Yep.
Wow. I'm trying to think of movies where I believe one of the Rocky movies I saw in the theater, and I think the crowd cheered when he knocked whoever was out. whatever was supposed to happen, happened.
There was some cheering at the end of when I saw the new Star Wars, Rogue One. Just at the end of the movie, there was some applause.
Oh, just people were so happy with the product?
Yeah, this isn't a premiere. This was just a regular, you know, viewing at 4 o'clock on a Saturday.
And the makers of the movie, the producers, director, they can't hear you.
They're not
there, no. They're not there. They're not piping the sound of the audience back to anyone.
Well,
it's just so bizarre to me.
A little odd.
Yeah. I know I've heard people clap. Maybe we'll get some email on this. I know I've heard people clap at other movies. I'm just trying to think of something that was
really... Usually it happens at premieres or...
Oh, maybe it was Rudy.
What?
Possibly Rudy?
God.
No, I don't think so.
Is that at the end of a movie? Oh, the end of Rudy? Ah!
It's just applause.
That's funny.
Oh. I think sports movies tend to be more... The possibility of that atrocity occurring is more common in a sports movie. Whatever. Anyway, Biden's coming.
Yeah, for the auto show. What's he going to... It's just his way of getting a free trip to the auto show.
This is his last gasp, I guess, as VP.
You see, people are scalping the tickets for Obama's last speech.
What?
So he's giving a big farewell speech, I think, on the 10th, which wouldn't that be right around the corner?
Yeah.
In Chicago. So people waited out line, you know, or waited outside in line to get these tickets. And now they're being sold on eBay for like $2,500.
$2,500 for what'll be, I mean, I would imagine, I mean, is that speech, will it even be, it'll probably be carried, I mean, is it night? Is it going to be shown to the country?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know, but you know cameras will be there.
I just wouldn't think it would be a grand speech as far as Obama speeches go.
I don't know.
Is it considered an important speech?
It could be the bridge speech. Look at where we are in this country with politics.
I think the idea of paying $2,500 to see a president give a speech is...
Now they're up to $5,000 online.
That is so absurd.
Yeah, Tuesday,
I agree.
Tuesday.
I'm sure he would agree.
At Chicago's McCormick Place.
Yeah, boy. I don't know. That's grim. I mean, I was thinking like $200 or something.
Well, it's not like it's even a fundraiser. A $500 a plate fundraiser or anything like that. You're just going to go see them.
The tickets were free.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a president's final speech that was famous even, other than, you know, Nixon resigning or something like that. That's not really considered a
thing.
Yeah. You know, maybe your first State of the Union or your first speech is, I don't know. I can't think of people ever paying.
Lincoln's final speech was great.
Oh, I'm sure it was. But people don't pay for political. I mean, to pay for a political speech is just so disturbing to me. Even these dinners where they are fundraisers, when I imagine people spending $10,000 for a meal and a picture.
Yeah, no.
And if you notice so frequently now, they are about the pictures.
Yeah, no. There's been pieces. There's that one documentary. Did you ever watch that? Shoot, what's it called? But there's a lot of that. It's about the money that the big donors pay.
Oh, I remember. This was a few months ago, maybe.
Yeah, I can't think of the lady's name that does it, but she has other political documentaries.
I just saw part of it.
But a lot of that was about just getting the picture.
Yeah.
And hanging it in your office.
Meet the donors.
Meet the donors. There you go.
I think
it's Pelosi's, Alexandra Pelosi is the...
Yeah, Alexandra Pelosi.
There you go,
exactly.
Yeah.
the idea that that a picture, even with a president or vice president, is that big a deal now, it just isn't. I mean, think of how many pictures they take. And you'd think a picture with a president would be a huge deal, but the business of fundraising and the business of walls of fame have met in this very disturbing place where people put up huge sums of money because they are – it's and autographs too. I mean, I don't – it seemed like autographs were almost completely not
– Well, they're gone. They're gone now for selfies.
Yeah, well, they've certainly been displaced by selfies, but people do still want autographs, and they always want them for their kids. Okay. In fact, what was the – God, I was just reading about somebody got – oh, I know what it was. Yeah, I was putting Today in Rock together, and today's the anniversary of – George Harrison's estate filing suit against the doctor who George is literally on his deathbed. I think it was 2 days before he died, and he was having trouble moving. And this doctor was like, oh, you can sign this. He wanted him to sign his kid's guitar.
Really?
And he wanted two autographs for his daughters. And I was thinking, first of all, my first thought was, his kids probably don't even like the Beatles. They probably don't even know who the Beatles are. And he's badgering his patient who's dying of cancer to sign shit for him.
What an asshole.
Oh, I know. What a complete asshole.
Oh, boy.
I think there was a settlement. I think that guy or somebody ponied up some money for that because that was, oh, my God. Can you, I mean, once, first of all, to even ask is outrageous, I think, even for a doctor. But then when the guy says, I'm really not feeling up to it, and then coercing him and badgering him.
They're probably the
come on, George, you probably, can do it.
Probably really shitty-looking autographs, too.
Yeah, probably not so great. But it just seems like there's a lot of that. And pictures for the kids, too.
Sorry,
it's really that. What? What?
Something stinks down here.
Oh,
sorry.
Is that so?
It's bad, man. What is wrong with me?
Deals in the D studio.
Sorry.
I must be in a great position in the dealsinthed.com studio because I'm not getting any of it over
Well,
here.
I think the fan sucks it in and blows it right at Jason's nose.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Jason. Oh, you still got that fan going over there.
Ugh. Gross. It's disgusting.
Do you just like having a fan on you, Jay?
Well, it usually is a little warm down here, like you said. So
yeah.
I like the cold, though. I'm kind of weird like that, so.
Uh-huh.
One for levels. I don't know why that makes me laugh when methane. One for levels.
Well, that was a stellar appearance.
It really was.
Well,
I'm very happy. I had the Golden Globes on, and Atlanta won for best comedy. Have you seen Atlanta?
No.
It's believe me, it's not going to be a show for everybody, but it's Donald Glover's show, who wrote for 30 Rock and then was on Community. And it's one of those comedy that kind of looks like a drama. It might be a comedy one. So
wait, is it a movie?
Very subtle. No, a comedy series.
Okay.
It's on FX. But God, it's really, really good.
There's so many shows right now I want to see. And so many of them are not network. There's really only a couple network shows that had nominations, aren't there?
Well, that was a network one. I'm just glad it won. I don't know how many people were paying attention to it. Probably no one watches it.
But there's so many Netflix.
Yeah, well, Billy Bob's is an Amazon show.
Yeah, Amazon. And, of course, HBO has been so dominant for so long. But it just seems like the networks are so left in the dust on this stuff.
Yep.
And as far as the movies, you know, the main movies, you know, they're just not even out or they're not available. Now, I did see.
Well, even like Hacksaw Ridge, they just showed the ad for it or whatever.
Can I see that right now? Is that in the theater?
It's already out of the theaters. It was in November.
How did I miss it?
Because it's just, these are more artsy movies. They're not the big, you know, you have these movies and then you have superhero movies and then you have animation, you know, the big animation films. And that's like all that's in theaters now.
Well, it's easy to see, you know, any of those big superhero movies, you're going to have millions of chances to see them. But I just can't believe so many of these nominated movies are here and gone. What's the movie? I know, I'm pretty sure you saw it. It's the one about the guys robbing banks in Texas.
Oh, yeah, you told us about it. I can't remember. It's nominated.
You'd seen it. Yeah, it was nominated. Yeah. That's like the only big movie or that got a lot of nominations. I think I got the best pictures here somewhere. That's actually one of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
But that's the problem. Nobody has seen any of these films. Remember the Oscars tries to fix that, too, by nominating more, popular films?
Yeah, and they've added the nomination list is longer.
Yeah, because they want people to watch. And still, like, as boring as the Oscars gets, it's like 30 million people will watch it.
I know.
More than any other award show. I would think the Grammys would get more just because there's live music.
Yeah.
Oh, Sarah Paulson won. Who played, I don't know if it's for Marsha Clark, but she was Marsha Clark.
Yeah.
And she looks like Marsha Clark.
Sarah Paulson.
She's a lesbian, though.
Lesbian?
Let's hear her speech. Marsha Clark.
She dates a woman or is married to a woman that's like 30 years older than her, too.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm going to faint.
What's her name? That's what
I want to thank the
Angelina
FDA
Jolie said.
I'm going to faint up here. You have always been so kind
Sarah
to me,
Paulson, who is a lesbian.
I'd like to thank John Landgraf.
Bob.
The inimitable John Landgraf.
Bob.
And everyone at FX for their support. And Dana Walden, Gary Newman, everyone at 20th Century Fox.
Her partner is 73, cast, Holland Taylor.
This merry band of gypsies. You're all heroes to me. I would not be standing here if it weren't for each and every one of you. To the peerless team that is Nina Jacobson and Brad Simpson.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Thank your
Scott Alexander,
girlfriend.
All of our brilliant directors and writers. To the man responsible for this and so much
is this
in
by
my
memory?
Life, Ryan Murphy. Haha, Jimmy Fallon.
Did you look her up? Show
you changed my life. If there was a single thing I thought I could give you that you didn't already have, it would be at your doorstep every day till the end of time. But in lieu of that, all I have is my boundless gratitude, and I love you. And to the remarkable Marsha Clark, you are an inspiration to me. If I could live my life with a fraction of your wit, integrity, and your unapologetic fierceness, I would be on the road to doing it right. Thank you.
God.
Marsha Clark. Come on. She lost the biggest case, the easiest case, with complete DNA. I mean, there's DNA from the murder site to his house.
I know. Probably stands
a glove at the murder site and at his house.
Is it going to win? Now, this is best limited series movie, so this is going to be the OJ thing, right?
Oh, okay.
I would think. The Night Of is good, except for the final episode.
Hell or High Water is the movie I was trying to think of.
Hell or High Water, that's right.
Hell or High Water is outstanding. I thought it was really good. I mean, bill me for it. If you don't like it, go ahead, bill me.
What is it done in the theaters? What, 20 million maybe?
Is that all?
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I don't know. I mean, I honestly just...
People versus O.J. Simpson, American...
Oh, is O.J. going to accept? Juice comes
can
it
be a satellite to O.J.?
Yeah,
who's got a dump in his Depends while he's talking?
The last person he would think would be Nicole.
Will they mention the victims, do you think, in this speech?
That should be the first, right?
I'm thinking like our writer who was upset with Brent Musburger.
Mitch Album? Oh, Christine Brennan?
Yeah. By her standard, the victim should be mentioned and discussed.
Honestly, shouldn't Cuba Gooding Jr. accept this as O.J.?
O.J. Simpson turned tragedy into entertainment, reminding us that American justice is anything but blind when race, gender, and celebrity are involved. When working on the show, we had no idea how painfully relevant those themes would be in 2016. Thank you to audiences for watching us and to the Hollywood Foreign Press for honoring us tonight. We share this with our remarkable writers, directors, our generous cast and gifted crew. We are all indebted to FX and Fox 21, John Landgraf, Gina Balian, Dana Walden,
what a dreadful speech.
Peter Rice,
I can't stop staring at Travolta.
No, I can't either.
I'm so sorry. In my case, my wife, Kim.
I'm singing him mispronouncing that name.
For their endless sportsmanship,
one and only,
that isn't exactly fair to them. Without them, none of what we do is possible. Thank
music.
You very much.
Yeah, thank the victims.
What did she say? A word about the victims?
No, she said turning tragedy into I don't even know. When in one ear, out the other.
Not one word about the victims.
Never.
Is Christine Brennan going to be all over their asses? She should be. It's a sports story. It's about O.J. Simpson.
That's a great point, Drew.
I'm calling her out. She can demand that woman retire.
Retire.
Well, you know, Brent, the whole thing about Brent, first of all, she said he was 77. I didn't realize he was 77.
He's been around forever.
He's fucking ancient. I mean, it seems to me, until he's forgetting players' names and having trouble seeing, I mean, that's when I think a play-by-play guy...
Like Keith Jackson.
Yeah, Keith. How bad was Keith his final games? Was he, or his last year, was he really
I don't know if he was that bad. Nobody was as bad as Pat Summerall.
Yeah, Pat Summerall.
As would attest to that.
It got bad, definitely. I can't think of that many guys, though, really, who at the end, like Ernie Harwell in his 90s, he was still good.
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly, why would you keep doing it if you were out of it? Unless you're
because you just love it. You love the attention. You don't know anything else, I guess. I don't know. It seems insane to me. I mean, thinking of Ernie doing that into all through his 80s, and he was still, you know, obviously, you can see the monitor well enough.
We used to, Sean Maz and I used to kind of laugh at, well, Maz didn't because Maz holds him as a deity, but Sean and I used to show it to Maz to bother him. Summerall's Cotton Bowl that he came back for in like 2010, God, where he's about three plays behind and mispronouncing. I think he called Old Miss Old Mills.
Oh, boy. And he wasn't drinking then either.
No. I mean, he was just cooked. But it's like, why is he putting himself out there? It's like Dick Clark.
I know. What better example is there of someone who just can't stop for whatever reason? I mean, Dick Clark was the worst.
Ryan.
He should have been stopped. Someone should have stopped him.
Uh-huh. Seacrest? He was trying to lower the bar as much as he could before he took over.
His wife? Oh, that's a good theory, actually.
He's like, I'm going to make Dick Clark look like shit, so when I take over, anything's going to look better.
Dick, you got to keep doing it. The fans demand it.
It's the long five-year con.
I can hear you fine. I can't even tell you had a stroke, man. Sound great.
All right, I can't do it anymore. Yeah, you can't get out there, old man. Just wheeling him out.
Oh, when he was trying to make those sort of witty comments. Oh boy. It was just,
when he was making out with his wife, that was the worst.
Pretty grim. God, there was something I wanted to go back for. Thank you very much, Ryan.
Do you want to watch the monologue or no? I heard some things. Pat sent me some information. He said it was parts are in, but he said there were some pretty good lines.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Fallon's monologue. I was really curious to see if he could pull this off because I don't think he has the balls to do the kind of humor that really is required of a show like this, but I was curious to see if he either could or if he could do what he does well enough to not make a difference. Because he's got some areas he's really strong in.
Yeah, you can see he's a song and dance man. The first 4 minutes or so was a big song and dance video thing.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah, I'm just going to skip that part of it.
See a Timberlake in there?
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing a tiny
bit
of it.
You want to see it?
Just to see how bad it is. I know what I wanted to mention, though, was during the Golden Globes pre-show, which I was watching while you guys were getting down here kind of putting the finishing touches on, I had that on upstairs, and I'd forgotten that Jenna Bush hyphen whatever her name is.
Egger.
Is one of the hosts.
Yeah.
And first of all, why? Why?
Because her dad was president.
Obviously. Much like Chelsea Clinton being an ABC Network News correspondent, which was a joke, absolute joke. But Jenna Bush is big. I mean, she's well. This is not like being Mike Clark funny and calling someone huge when they're just a little overweight. She's big.
She's massive.
I mean, she's got a gut.
Ugh. There she is walking in.
She's a big girl. Yeah, she's not a monster yet.
6'5"?
And she's got the biggest bottle of champagne there.
Oh, boy, yeah. Oh boy.
Which, you know, you would think she needs it based on her size.
Whatever happened to her hot twin, Barbara?
I don't know. Yeah, they were both pretty attractive, I always thought.
Yeah, but she was I always thought Barbara was a little hotter. She got all her mom's genes.
Yeah, this is the fattest thing I've ever seen.
Jenna's not terribly attractive, and I'm not trying to hold it against her or anything, but she just to be a host for something like this, that's a big job.
Yeah, but then again, Roker's a host. All right, here's the piece.
I'm just thinking of all the more qualified people that got blown out.
Billy Bush.
The president's daughter.
They should have made Megyn Kelly do it. As you can see, cars are backed up for several blocks trying to get on the red carpet. It's already wacky.
Uh-oh. It's one of those I'm going to be late things. This is the song and dance deal?
I think so. This song is from La La Land.
Oh, you never did tell us about La La Land.
It's a musical. It's not as much music as you would think. It was not bad. It's a good story. It's a little predictable. I wouldn't be surprised if it won a bunch of stuff, but I wouldn't be upset either. It's like an old Hollywood show.
This looks really stupid.
Yeah, Jimmy singing, Amy Adams. Sarah Paulson.
The white Ford Bronco joke?
Yeah.
Isn't that...
They're all the OJ people.
Okay.
Volta. This is Westworld people. Mr. Robot.
These photos ever get out, you're dead.
I should have taken your advice and skipped this.
What's that? Is that Bloom? Oh, no, that's Kit Harrison. Harrington. This is a reference to Stranger Things.
This is incredibly stupid.
This is bad.
You want to speed ahead?
Gladly.
Wow. This is what I was afraid
of,
actually.
Timberlake's in here.
Is there some crazy Bee Gees moment?
I doubt it.
Thank you notes? Is that what was going on there?
That's right, it sucks.
I don't even want to see. Oh, that's a scene from La La Land, but nobody would know this because...
Nobody's seen the movie.
Nobody's seen the movie.
Terrible. Oh, can you pause for a second? By the way, during the pregame show, I think it was Jenna Bush. I'm not going to blame her for this necessarily, but somebody asked...
Cheat a sandwich.
Nicole Kidman about motherhood.
Yeah.
Did she adopt a couple kids or something?
No, her and Urban, Keith Urban had kids.
They had a couple natural kids. Yeah. Okay. And she's talking about, you know, the wonders of motherhood, and I'm thinking, wait a second.
You're already
she's
a
got one kid who calls her a suppressive person and doesn't talk to her.
Those don't count. They're not blood. I'm sure that's how she looks
at it. That was kind of the way I was imagining it, but it just seems incredibly just not a subject you would really want to broach
It sounds a little weird. But she did just have a kid with Urban.
I know, and she lit up at the top, obviously thinking about her, the new child, who apparently is favored to the old kid.
Of course.
But that's supposed to be.
Those are too connected to Tom.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, just saw it throw it away. That was really weird.
Thank you so much, everybody. Welcome to the Golden Globes. Already the teleprompter's down, so this is a great way to start the show. I can do impressions. What do we do here?
Oh,
I can think of something. Cut to Justin Timberlake, please, and then he'll do so. Just wink at
cut
me.
Cut to Mariah Carey.
Yeah, this is great. We have another
Mariah Carey joke. Insert Mariah Carey joke.
You know what? I'll
right?
make up this monologue.
Yeah, that's what he's going to do.
We're here. This is what happens at the Golden Globes already. You have already. Already you have your Golden Globes moment. Already. It's already like a GIF. I'm happy I didn't trip already. It would be like, it's like it's just doing a live GIF. Here we go. This is the Golden Globes, one of the few places left where America still honors the popular vote. But. But really, this is great, you guys. You guys are the best of the best. You're the best of TV, the best of movies, the best of music. I mean, just look at who we have in the room. I mean, we have Ryan Gosling right there. There he is. La, la, la. Amazing job.
Were there a few boos for the popular vote joke?
Playing a jazz
I just think it was
kind of,
yeah.
By the way, don't think Google Ryan Gosling penis. It's a, trust me, it's an HR nightmare. I can't even believe I'm going to the Golden Globes. I got advice from everybody. Chris Rock said, a lot of great shows this year. People vs. OJ going to win. People going to get up there and say, I couldn't have done it without Ryan Murphy. I couldn't have done it without my agent, my manager. I'll tell you, the one person you couldn't have done it without, OJ. No one's going to thank OJ.
Christine Brennan, where are you?
Wow.
They're going to thank the key grip. No one's going to thank OJ. Game of Thrones is nominated tonight. How great is that?
The show has so many plot twists and shocking moments. A lot of people have wondered what it would have been like if King Joffrey had lived. Well, in 12 days, we're going to find out. And, Manchester by the Sea is nominated for 5 awards.
This versus Ricky Gervais.
Oh, I mean, doesn't have...
Hey, Amy Poehler, Amy Poehler and Tina.
They'll make fun of the people in the crowd.
Absolutely.
2016 that was more depressing than 2016. We have two-time Golden Globe winner and seven-time nominee Matt Damon here tonight. There to see
All right, no rip on Damon.
Thank you, pal. Looking good, buddy. Of course, we all know Matt Damon from his greatest acting role, telling Ben Affleck that he liked Batman versus Superman.
Not bad.
Yes, you did. The film Florence Foster Jenkins is nominated.
Oh, don't tell me he's going to go after Meryl Streep.
No.
The character has been dubbed the world's worst opera singer. And even she turned down performing at Donald Trump's inauguration. It's tough to book.
Oh!
Amazon did pretty well today. 11 nominations for Amazon. So Jeff Bezos is here tonight. He actually arrived yesterday, but there was no one around to sign for him. It's an Amazon joke. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. Of course, as always, the ballots for tonight's Golden Globes were carefully tabulated by the accounting firm of Ernst & Young and Putin. But here we go.
Okay.
Before we get down to the business,
this is pretty bad.
We're dividing the room between the winners and the extremely fortunate. I just want to take a moment and say I and everyone watching at home appreciate what you do. I know how much work goes into every movie, every TV show, all the music. So let's make tonight a celebration. It's the biggest party of the year. We've got Questlove DJ.
Oh boy. I don't know, man.
Just he sort of just gets by an energy, doesn't he?
Yeah. In cutesiness, I guess.
Yeah.
I suppose. I mean, he's harmless. He's likable.
Well, you know, he can always get... You know he has access to the best joke writers out there. So it's really a matter of him.
Does he?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Jay Leno used to have those nightly meetings with his group of joke writers. And Jay always, the monologue was the best thing Jay did.
Mm-hmm. It was long, too. It was always 10 minutes.
Yeah, he's a set him up, knock him down kind of guy, which isn't necessarily everybody's style. I don't know. Not my... After Ricky Gervais, pretty tough act to follow.
Wow. That's some girl I've never heard of. She's going to be in the new Baywatch movie.
With the breasts that you admired earlier.
I didn't even realize earlier she was standing next to Negan from The Walking Dead. Harry Dean Stanton. Those breasts really got
already
my attention.
Any other tips on...
Nothing really. I don't even know who I want. I'm just going to speed through it.
Between parts one and two, we'll take a peek at some stuff and see what's going on. And since we are at about the hour 10 marks, we probably should get on to wrapping up part one. And thanks to DealsInTheD.com, our new studio sponsor. Here's Steven, of course, from Zot Ford up on 75.
That's in Holly Road.
Yeah, ma'am.
Right off the exit.
And in part two, we will introduce another sponsor, a new sponsor, who's been a dear friend for a long time. And also we got Today in Rock, and there's actually a bunch of little things to talk about. We haven't talked about Florida really that much.
Some new information about him, too.
Yeah, and some interesting discussions, and also Israel today.
Oh, there's also a new, I meant to tell you, there's a new Chris Brown incident. I don't know if you knew about it.
No. Yeah. Okay, excellent. So, back with part two again, and thanks one more time to Zot Ford, DealsInTheD.com, and we'll be back with part two. See ya!